Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Simeon Friedberg, September 3, 1996. Simeon, would you please tell us your address?
1220 South Negley Avenue, Pittsburgh, I guess. 17, I still call it.
Okay, Simeon, to begin with, I wondered if you could tell us something about your immediate family when you were a child. Your father, your mother, your siblings. Just tell us something about your family.
All right. Well, there were four of us in the immediate household, my parents and my sister, who was 4 years older than I. And my father was a physician.
What was his name?
Emmanuel B. Friedberg. Everyone called him Manny. And he was something of a well-known figure, I think, in Pittsburgh. He was born here and seemed to know just about everybody in the city. My mother was born in Boston and came here when she married, shortly after graduating from college.
Could you tell us her name?
Lillian Adlow.
Could you spell her that?
A-D-L-O-W.
Okay.
Now, I should say a word about that name.
Okay.
Because, as far as I know, we are the only family that has that name. My mother's father, Nathan, entered the United States in Boston in, I guess, about 1888. And he didn't have a command of English at the time. And he was trying to communicate as best he could with the immigration officer, who kept asking him what his name was. And he kept saying something that should have come out, something like Orlov, except they gargled it in the back of the throat. And this man couldn't figure it out. And so then he decided he would be clever and give him the German version of that name, which means eagle. So he said Adler, which is a name that this man recognized. But he didn't pronounce Adler in the approved fashion. So it came across as Adlow.
Okay.
And this name was invented then in this interesting fashion.
Where did your grandfather come from?
He came from Lithuania and came from a village, as they said, in Vilna Gubernia.
Oh, everybody's...
In the region of Vilna,
right,
which is a standard point of origin.
Right.
But they came from a place on the Niemen River, not very far from the site of the defeat of Napoleon's army by the Russians in the War of 1812. And in fact, my grandfather used to describe how, as children, they would be digging in the garden, the backyard or something of that sort, and find buttons and medals from the Napoleonic troops who had died there. And it was very vivid in the minds of the local residents.
Very real to him.
Yes.
Did your grandfather come? Did you get his? We didn't get
Nathan.
His name and
Nathan.
Your grandmother.
Okay.
They really want to know. We really want to know about you.
Well, his name was Nathan Adlow.
Okay.
And
what was his occupation?
At that time, the occupation, I suppose, was Yeshivabucher. I mean, he didn't have any obvious means of support, except that he had a capacity for hard work. And it was his intention, I guess. Some plan had been made, and he expected to join a cousin of his and go into some sort of enterprise, which never materialized, and it's just as well he didn't place much weight on it. But he had a capacity for interacting well with people, and he developed a circle of friends and associates. But his first shot at making his way in the world consisted of becoming an itinerant peddler, which is a fairly common story. And he eventually bought a horse and wagon.
Was this in Boston? Did he go directly to Boston?
He went directly to Boston.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was a member of a communal group. There was the town that they came from was a place called Dove, and so there was a little organization. It's a fairly standard story of people who traced their origins back there, and they would get together for friendship and sustenance when the opportunity presented itself. And he and my grandmother were married really rather young. I mean, her name was Bravman, Bessie Bravman.
Can I spell it?
B-R-A-V-M-A-N. And there was a rather distant connection, mm-hmm. some cousin, five times removed. So they had mutual friends and all the rest. But it wasn't very long before he decided that there wasn't much future in peddling, and eventually he compressed many years. Acquired a little store and went into the furniture business and thus established the Adlow Furniture Company, which was a very interesting establishment. Still was flourishing in my childhood.
And was he running it?
He ran it, uh-huh. And he ran it, I guess, was about every day in the week.
Is that right?
and including Shabbos, which was a cause of great pain to him and to grandmother. But that's the way the world was. And the business prospered. Perhaps I should, let's see, what would be most useful. I guess I should indicate the appearance of brothers and sisters.
Right.
Mother.
You mean the children?
Children.
Okay.
Mother was the second.
Okay.
Her brother, my uncle Eli, was the eldest.
Eli. Okay.
Elijah Adlow. And then. Mother.
Lillian.
Mm-hmm. And then Dorothy. And then the last was Chippy. Helen is her name.
There are three girls and a son? Three daughters?
Yes. Three daughters and a son. Now, there was another daughter who died in childhood. Mm-hmm. Source of pain to the family for many, many years.
Were your parents, are your grandparents married in this country?
They married in this country.
In Boston.
In Boston. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. And so all of the children were born here.
Okay. How about your grandmother? Was she born in Europe or in?
She was born in Europe.
In Europe. Okay.
And in fact. She, you know, spent most of her time in the home,
mm-hmm.
and doing communal good works and things of that sort. But I don't, as far as I remember, she didn't speak much English.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she was determined was that her children should all have good education. And they very quickly assessed the situation. I mean, they realized that they were living within a couple of miles of the most prominent university in the United States. And they were determined that they would make use of the situation. So, that began by preparation, and in Boston, preparation for admission to Harvard consisted of going to the Latin school. There was one for boys and one for girls.
Is this a public or a private school?
It was a public school operated in a way that still is a cause of... Mm-hmm. of confusion. The entrance was by admission.
Mm-hmm.
Admission was by entrance examination.
Right.
And only a select group were able to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to gain admission there and to distinguish themselves.
So your mother went to Radcliffe?
She went to Radcliffe, which then was a separate institution but affiliated with Harvard. And she graduate degree in, I guess, what would one say? I suppose it's political science. And then eventually she did an additional study and got a master's degree in the same field. And she wrote a master's thesis for Harold J. Lasky.
She did.
And I think we still have the thesis written out in her rather fine hand with comments by Mr. Lasky. So,
I know she was a tremendously remarkable woman, a wonderful woman. I know that. How have we filled in pretty much about Mrs. Friedberg's family? The thing I would like to ask you, because council was interested in this slant on things, what kind of a religious orientation did your mother's family have?
Well, they were certainly observant and knowledgeable about religious matters. They were not inclined toward ultra or toward extremes of any sort. I think this was more characteristic of the people among whom they originated. These were, I guess, how did they distinguish their
different levels of observance?
Well, on the one extreme, they used to put the Hasidim.
And the Lubavitchers, I think.
And, of course, that was a specific breed.
But
then I think that the people who incline in a more liberal direction were the Mizanagdim, and it's among that group that they numbered themselves.
What were they called to me?
Well, I guess, I don't remember how you pronounce it, I guess M-I-T-H-N-A-G-D-I-M.
I never heard that.
Well, I think I've got it right.
It probably is. It's right as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I have never heard that. Either.
But they were more interested in the intellectual side than in the emotional side, and they considered the Hasidic extreme as verging on what we would call holy rollers.
Right, right.
And they just didn't think that that was an essential part of Judaism. Mm-hmm. And I can understand their views.
Well, would you say that your grandmother kept a kosher home?
Oh, yes.
That sort of thing, and they went to the synagogue on
the high
altar.
In fact, my mother kept a kosher house.
Did she?
Until the late 30s.
Uh-huh.
And she stopped dealing exclusively with the kosher butchers on Murray Avenue during a scandal, one of many scandals. There was a story that the owner of a butcher shop was found playing pinochle in the back room on Shabbos.
No.
And there was all kinds of stuff built up. And she figured that if this is the seriousness with which they take
kashrus.
But I will say, I don't know if she knew her, even though she didn't keep a kosher house, mm-hmm. she never would eat pork or related things. And, well, she had an interpretation of religious ideas, which was, I think, very sound and somewhat unique.
Well, we'd like to hear about that.
what do you think? Do you think we've covered enough about Simeon's grandparents and mother's early life? She went to Radcliffe. Did all the children go to Harvard? All four children?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. And my uncle became a judge in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He was a well-known character.
Mm-hmm.
Now Dorothy was the art critic for the Christian Science Monitor.
Mm-hmm.
She was the only non-Christian scientist on the staff of the Monitor, and she lectured extensively on art, including regular appearances at the Carnegie International.
Mm-hmm.
Regular member of the jury, and my other aunt was just a sweet person.
That in itself is an achievement. We have a wonderful heritage.
Well, thank you.
Truly wonderful. How about your father's family?
Well, they came from the same region.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think those families lived within about 15 or 20 miles of one another. And there was, again, a distant relationship. So they have common relatives, and these my father's father had, I guess, much stronger involvement in scholarly affairs.
What was his name?
Moses
Rieger.
Moses Rieger. M. Lewis Maschele.
I beg your pardon?
Maschele.
Okay. And Moses Lewis Maschele.
Yeah. And he was in his 40s when he decided to come to this country.
Oh.
And it was one of the families, one of those families in which the visible means of support was provided through the female side. I think that my grandmother maintained a little inn or something like that. And he supported himself to some extent by teaching Hebrew lessons to other kids and other matters. But he had, let's see, when he decided to come to this country, all of the nine brothers and sisters were already here, except for Dad.
Oh, his brothers and sisters were all here.
Okay. Dad's brothers and sisters had already been born.
I see.
He was the only one who was born in this country.
I see. Okay.
So Dad was born in Pittsburgh.
I see. And he was one of 10 children?
Nine.
Nine children.
Nine
okay.
children. And they, let's see, Zadie eventually had a little business that he operated, a little cigar factory, Stogie, mm-hmm. another well-known route. And one of the first things he did when he began to accumulate a couple of nickels and dimes was to get involved in savings and loan activity. These were active in Pittsburgh, largely the result of German influence. And people could save money and work toward acquisition of some property. And that's one of the things that he had set as his goal, because, of course, they couldn't own real estate in the Russian Empire. And he thought it was very important. He always used to comment that the bricks remain. Political upheavals can sweep the country. Wars can come and go, but
the bricks
will still be there. Although maybe not so much these days.
Different time.
Yeah, different time. But he I guess he did travel to Boston. It gets involved because mother and dad met when dad came up to Boston to go to Harvard.
Oh, he went to Harvard also.
He went to Harvard also. And there's a long story which I don't will tell you at some point if you wish.
Okay.
But he had a picture mm-hmm. of a little girl with long braids mm-hmm. that his mother had been given by a cousin who knew mother's mm-hmm. mother.
Mm-hmm.
There was an active role here. This was not completely innocent. And,
it wasn't just by chance.
Not just by chance. Uh-huh. And but Dad had seen that picture years before and mm-hmm. was smitten.
Oh.
And that's what he decided to do when he had achieved independence. And so they were married just after Dad graduated from medical school.
I see.
And mother had completed her college mm-hmm. and then came back to Pittsburgh and decided to settle here. I make it sound a little too easy because they, as you might suppose, were idealistic young people. And one of the things, an example of form in which such idealism manifested itself in those days. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Dr. Grenfell, who was a medical man in Newfoundland, and was determined to bring public health to the poor people in the Arctic and so on. And he was recruiting associates and darn near got Dad involved.
Wow.
Wouldn't that have been just really freezing in Newfoundland? At any rate.
Okay, stop.